We're back at the DNC in Charlotte. In 2004, President Obama was a young U.S. Senate candidate from Illinois when he delivered the keynote speech at the Democratic Convention in Boston that put him on the national map.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya.
4 years later, Barack Obama accepted the presidential nomination in Denver, echoing that speech. But then some of his opponents used it to question his Americanness. Julian Zelitzer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. Last week we spoke about GOP speeches of note. Today it's the Democrats' turn. So I asked Julian if he thought President Obama would return to his personal story this time around.
I don't think so. I don't think he and his background and his personal story will be as important this time around as who he has been as president. He's no longer the Barack Obama who is the outsider, who is the maverick, who is challenging the status quo. He is the status quo. So the task, the challenge of this speech is to explain what he's done and explain why it's helped the country rather than what Republicans are saying, that he's actually hurt economic recovery.
Give us a sense of, you know, this speech through the prism of incumbents.
I think the speech is less important for an incumbent. We don't tend to remember many of the speeches that incumbents make, in part because we have seen the president speak so many times. People already know who he is and they have a sense of who he is. So it's very hard to have the same kind of exciting turn during a speech as it was just 4 years ago for the president.
Well, I'm wondering if you also think it's going to be hard because this year also giving speeches is, Bill Clinton, who's, you know, one of the most charismatic figures in the party, and U.S. Senate candidate from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, who can be very compelling. He has competition in a funny way.
He does, and I'm not sure he doesn't want that, meaning that Bill Clinton can generate a little bit of excitement right now that probably Barack Obama can't. More people might want to tune in to see him, and he could be a little more fiery than the president can because he's not handling the task of governance right now. So Bill Clinton, who ironically had one of the worst speeches at a convention many years ago in 1988, right now is being looked to deliver some of the partisan punch that some feel Barack Obama is not as comfortable doing.
Well, what Barack Obama has in common with Bill Clinton is that they both have given speeches as incumbents. Let's listen to a little of Bill Clinton.
4 years ago, you and I set forth on a journey to bring our vision to our country, to keep the American dream alive for all who were willing to work for it, to make our American community stronger, to keep America the world's strongest force for peace and freedom and prosperity.
How did he handle it the second time around?
Well, the second time around, Bill Clinton had been beat up politically, meaning in 1994, Republicans had taken over Congress, and there was a belief that the government and the country had shifted to the right. So Clinton strategically really shifts to the middle in that second speech and is much more about compromise and governance with Republicans than he is about ambition and big plans to change the country.
Let's look back at some of the most memorable Democratic convention speeches. And of course, one of them has to be Ted Kennedy's in 1980. He lost the nomination to the incumbent Jimmy Carter and spoke at the convention in New York.
For me, a few hours ago, this campaign came to an end. For all those whose cares have been our concern, the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die.
Ted Kennedy's speech for many Democrats in 1980 is one of the most exciting in recent decades. Kennedy lost the primary battle. President Carter was running for re-election. But Kennedy gives this very exciting speech about the principles of the Democratic Party, the fight for the common man, and the need to stick to that tradition rather than to abandon it. And he says Carter moved too far to the center, and the Democrats had to go back to their roots. And that's a case where the loser ends up giving a speech that is more inspiring in many ways than the incumbent and remains a set of principles that many Democrats come back to.
Julian Zelitzer, go way back. When these kinds of stirring speeches where people really took a stand instead of, you know, almost trying to get on the other side of the speech without committing too much, which is how we feel we hear things today. Where do you see that?
Well, a couple famous ones, Franklin Roosevelt in 1932, and he gives a speech introducing the idea of a New Deal and squarely putting himself behind the idea that the government had to help Americans. And he also attacks Republican economics, free market economics, which he says has failed and no longer offers a roadmap for the future.
Well, another time in history where we saw a politician really stand for something at a convention, he was running for Senate at the time but was a speaker in 1948, Hubert Humphrey, on including civil rights in the Democratic Party platform. Let's listen.
To those who say that we are rushing this issue of civil rights, I say to them, we are 172 years late.
That's one of the most powerful speeches at a convention. Hubert Humphrey in a Democratic Party where Southern Democrats were still enormously powerful says that the whole idea of states' rights has to be put aside, that Democrats need to embrace civil rights. And he says if you don't want to join that cause, leave the party. And some Southerners do. Strom Thurmond walks out and will run as an independent candidate. And for many, this was an act of courage, this speech. He was just running for the Senate. He was a young Democrat, and he makes a speech and says the things that many Democrats were still terrified to say.
Yeah. Julian Zelitzer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. We'll have links to the speeches we talked about at hereandnow.org. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.
And as we go into the break, yesterday we ran into The Daily Show's Jon Stewart and asked him how he thought convention season was going. Of course, Clint Eastwood's chair came to mind.
Well, obviously, anytime you can get a three-time Academy Award winner yelling at a chair, you know, obviously that's somewhat of a gift. And it could have been anybody. It could have been Laurence Olivier and an ottoman. You know, give me an Academy Award winner and a piece of furniture. Go. You know, that... pretty much anything.
Do you think the Democrats will come out with a chair, do something with a chair?
Well, anytime you've decided to rename Bank of America Stadium Panther Stadium and there's a giant 50-foot sign that says Bank of America on it, that says this is going to be a fun week. Pretending you're not who you are, that's going to be good for us.
And tomorrow, Jon Stewart and the veterans that he and others are supporting here in Charlotte. Also tomorrow, the music of Charlotte. Charlotte's own Anthony Hamilton singing Coming From Where I'm From. What songs say Charlotte to you, especially our listeners on the fabulous WFAE here in Charlotte? Let us know at hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.